you, Pastor. Thank you for being here tonight. I am delighted that we're back, and I certainly am looking forward to God doing something very special for us in these next few days. When I come to a place like this and want to talk about stewardship, I think I can understand how Franklin Delano Roosevelt felt. For you who are untaught, young's another word. He was our longest serving president that America's ever had. He served before term limits. And he was very charismatic, a very enjoyable man to listen to. His politics kind of stuff, but he was a very enjoyable man. And he was talking to his wife one day, and he was talking about how much he hated those receiving lines at the state dinners when they would come to the dinner. They'd have to stand there and greet everyone that came in. He said, none of them pay any attention at all to what I say. They think they've heard it. And she said, Franklin, I'm sure that they pay attention. He said, well, I'll show you tonight. You pay attention. So they came to the dinner, and they announced those that were in the line, and they were standing there receiving them. The first one came by and introduced himself and said, then how are you, Mr. President? And Franklin had his hand, and he said, I'm fine. I murdered my grandmother this morning. He said, well, I want you to know we're behind you, Mr. President. And he walked on. Next one came up, the same scenario. Said, and how are you, Mr. President? He said, I'm fine. I murdered my grandmother this morning. He said, well, we're all praying for you. Keep up the good work. And he moved on. Third one came up. Same scenario. Shook hands. And how are you tonight, Mr. President? He said, I'm fine. I murdered my grandmother this morning. The guy looked up at him and said, well, I'm sure she needed it. One out of three got it. I'd take that. One out of three. I know, but if you preach much, you know how they feel, how he felt. Because sometimes you think, just ain't nobody listening. It's just so lonely. But if you were, then you recall that over there in James chapter 2, there's that little verse. We're not going to be there, but you'll remember it from this morning. It's James 2:12. It said, so speak ye, and so do as they that shall be judged. And we had a good deal to say about the fact that we are going to be judged. Well, with that in mind, I want you to open your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 13 for just a moment. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, and we'll read a very familiar verse, and then we're going to locate one more, and then we're going to get started for the evening. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Here we come down to just one verse to get the complete thought here, and that's verse 5. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Now that's interesting to me. That is a command of God, that we examine ourselves. That would be kind of like having never gone to the doctor, knowing nothing about medical or your body, and you go in and sit down, and the first thing the doctor asks you is, what's wrong with you? Well, you don't have a clue, or you wouldn't have been, and don't know how to examine yourself. I love to tell them, that's why I came to see you. And they don't appreciate that. You just got charged and they ain't going to tell you nothing. But the Bible says examine yourself. Well, what are we to use for an examination guide? Are we just to make up some questions and see if we can make 100 on? If you'll let me make up the test, I'll do good. Amen. Let me put the questions on the test, I will pass. But now, if somebody that knows more than I do puts them down, then I have to study a little bit. And that's where that examination comes in. Examine yourself. Give yourself an examination. Check it real carefully, you see. And we need to do that. We need to examine ourselves and let God search our heart and really, really show us what we really are. And we need to understand it is a commanded duty to do this. So we talked this morning about this thing of how we're to behave ourselves. We're to speak and do, remembering that we're going to be judged for it, as those that will be judged. Well, let me ask you to just back on up just a little bit more now to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Very familiar ground now, but this is where we begin to take our exam. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. You find it in your Bible for you that are Bible students. You'll have it all marked up. If you're new to the Bible, it'll be some very informative words from the Word of God. Verse 6, 2 Corinthians chapter 9. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also how? Sparingly. Oh, okay. I was born in Arkansas. I got that. I get it. You want a little, you sow a little. Got it. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. I got it. All right. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly, nor of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Did you get that heart message a while ago on that dumb skit? There was a message there. You had to look hard for it, but it was there. Did you get it? It's a heart thing. Old Ernest T. can't help it. He's got a bad heart. And you and I were born with a bad heart. It's evil. It's exceedingly wicked. It's deceitful. I mean, it's just a bad deal. And so there has to come a change. See, God loveth a cheerful giver. Now, I have to tell you, I'm a cheerful receiver. Test me. Love to get stuff. And yet, in that central beatitude of the Bible, Jesus said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. So I'm messed up because I know he's not. And that means I got to have a change of heart. The only way you can get that is to get born again. Then I have to have a renewing of the mind because it doesn't work till it gets up here. And we need to understand that. So I'm just trying to get some simple truths out tonight. Let's read on a little bit. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you. That God is able is a wonderful thing. Amen. And I don't know what you're dealing with tonight, but God is able. He's been where you are. He knows what you're going through. He knows your very thoughts right now. Amen. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, that's like all the time, having all sufficiency, that's like more than enough, in all things, that's like everything, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now, he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown. Now, he doesn't add to your seed sown, he multiplies it. And increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. You need to keep your eye on that to all bountifulness thing, because we're going to touch on it in just a moment. But let's examine ourselves. We won't be long. I want to be considerate of your time because I may get windy one of these nights and take too long, but I'll try not to. You've already figured out I don't do hurry, but I can quit and land the plane. All right. So I want, based on what we studied this morning, and what we read tonight, I want to suggest to you some questions for you to ask God about your giving. Don't ask me about it. Don't ask the preacher about it. We can't access your giving information. Now, we got your tithing information down. We know what that is. But we can't help you with this. So for those Christians who understand that this life is to prepare for that next life, then these are some questions that you and I ought to ask God the Father about concerning our giving. Question number one. Father, have you raised me up for such a time as this to free up your money for your cause? Wouldn't it be something if God put us here on purpose to do something on purpose, and that is to free up his resources to advance his cause? You remember over there in Esther 4:14? It's that little old simple statement that's been thrown around for everything in the world. But it simply says, who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? You don't suppose it could be us, do you, that have been called to the kingdom, us, for such a time as this, to free up God's resources to advance his cause? Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing to just know God picked you out to use for something like that? Won't you ask him? You ask him, Father, have you raised me up for such a time as this? See, some of you have been blessed in marvelous ways for such a time as this. And God's given you more than you could have ever imagined having for such a time as this. Good question. Question number two. Father, have you given me the gift of giving and are wanting me to exercise it more? See, over there in Romans chapter 12, it talks about the gifts. And it gets down there to that gift of giving. And it says, he that giveth, let him do it. You got it? Do it. He that giveth, let him do it. You ought to check. See, the folks always want to take these spiritual gift tests. They pass this one up real quick. God has blessed some to where they can exercise the gift of giving in ways that others can't. And so, has he given you that gift, and is he wanting you to exercise it more? Question number three, biggie. Father, what do you want me to turn loose of? What is it I'm holding on to that's robbing me of the joy and blessing of giving for you? And a lot of folks are. Won't you ask God what it is that he wants you to turn loose of? Some of you got, see, we all have our hands on stuff that doesn't belong to us. Every one of us. Now that stuff belongs to us. We're stewards of it. But some of us act like it's ours. See, we have not yet learned that possession is not ownership. Possession is stewardship. And God has the ownership. And some of us holding on to his stuff and he wants us to turn it loose. This is not going well, is it? Question number four. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 11 now. We've got to look at this. Father, the Bible says, I will be enriched to all bountifulness once I get involved in that giving sequence where I give cheerfully. In light of that, in light of 2 Corinthians 9:11, am I to assume that you bless me to raise my standard of giving and not my standard of living? That we might be enriched to all bountifulness. Not to all of the holding on, but abounding to everything, you see. And so you need to ask God if he has blessed you to raise your standard of giving or your standard of living. Just ask him. He'll make it plain to you. Number five, question asked God. Father, have I over-accumulated? Have I failed to distribute the things you've given to me? Have I failed to understand, quote, that life consisteth not in the abundance of the things possessed. See, some of us still measure success by how much stuff we got. Is that right? So, you know, 3 cars, 6 televisions, 5 storehouses, all that kind of stuff. We've overaccumulated. Way overaccumulated. I probably have told you here, I have a preacher friend in Arkansas. He's got 5 big storehouses out behind his house, all of them full of junk. And he don't know what's in there. But boy, if he lost it, he'd be miserable. He's overaccumulated. Stuff he doesn't need. Let me tell you something. And I'm not speaking down to you. When they can't build enough, you rent it store places where we go and pay them money to store stuff we can't get in our house or our garage. Something is bad wrong with our mentality. Bad wrong. And folks have stuff in those buildings that they just know is essential to their life. Well, tell me why it's up there locked up in that building. You got no use for it at all. But I might need it sometime. That means I can't trust God. All right. Number 6. Father, what do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? What do you want me to see to raise my spiritual awareness concerning my stewardship and my giving? See, some of you might need to go to a third world country and look it over. Some of you might need to go to an old-fashioned preaching conference somewhere where they just deal with the Word of God. Some of you might need to just listen when you hear. But, Father, what would you have me to do and to see in order to raise my spiritual awareness of giving? Question number 7. Father, am I treating you as the owner of all my stuff? Or am I treating you as my financial manager and I just pay you 10% a week? Good question, isn't it? Are you treating God as the owner or financial manager? Tip him 10%. Ask him, he'll tell you. Number 8. Father, when I make a list of all you have given me and I ask you what I should give away, am I leaving anything off the list? You know, the untouchables. You know, the boat. The four-wheeler. The golf clubs. The shotgun. The Jeep. You know, our big boy toys. The untouchables. Lord, I'll give you everything but my... We messed up. Number 9. Father, this is getting pretty serious now. How can I know that my assets will be used for you when I die? How do I know that those I leave it to will use it for your glory? And Father, if I want the money to be used for you, why wouldn't I give it now?
Amen.
Just ask God. It's amazing to me. I want all my money to go to God when I die. Why not now? Give while you're living, you know where it's going. Yeah. Well, I sure thought it'd be better than this. It's examination time. I never liked them, did you? I hated them. Number 10. If this world and all that's in it will burn at your second coming. 2 Peter 3:10-11. I read it this morning, you remember. Will all my stuff I've stored up be wasted if you come in my lifetime? Should I adopt a use it or lose it philosophy? Ask God that. Good question. Number 12. Father, if my children would resent me giving money to you now, to your work, if they would resent that, Father, does that not indicate they're not qualified to receive it themselves? I get perturbed when somebody says, well, I've got some stuff set back, but if I gave to God, my kids have a fit. Well, I say, get them a tetanus shot or something. That's not what you give a dog having a fit. What do you do? It's something. Or just give them a good jack in the jaw for Jesus' sake. Because they've just told you they don't deserve the money.
Amen.
They're not qualified to receive a godly person's money if they resent their father giving it to God.
Amen.
And we just need to settle on this stuff and not, you know, understand it. And the kick question of that is, Father, if you provided for me to be able to do this, couldn't you provide for them also if they live for you?
Amen.
Absolutely. Need to just understand it. Do it. Question number 13. What is the downside, Father, of giving right now? What's the downside of that? What's the danger of delay, Father? If I delay, am I really in danger? And Father, am I in danger of giving too much? Come on. Folks act like that. They act like they're going to give too much. Gee. Question number 14. If I don't give it now, Father, is it possible I won't have it later to give? You know, two or three more of these recessions.
Yeah.
See, now that's lost. It could have been put into eternal investments. I hear people talking about, well, I lost a third of this and I lost half of that. But if you'd put it into the work of God, you'd have been compounding it.
Amen.
Now it's gone. Gone. Number 15. If I don't give it now, Father, am I in danger of my heart getting wrapped up in earthly treasure like the rich young ruler? Am I in danger of that? See, that guy, you talk about a guy that was in a dilemma, came running to the Lord and said, good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus told him, stripped all the facade off of him, said, what you need to do, Bubba, is sell what you have, give it to the poor, come take up the cross, follow me. I don't think any of it bothered him except that sell what you have stuff. And he went away sorrowful, for he was very rich. See, watch. The man left what he needed so he could keep what he wanted. He thought this life was what it was all about.
Yep.
Bad messed up. Question number 16. Someone said, my soul, how many of these is it? I'm giving the test. I'll stop at the end. Question number 16, is it ever wrong to give now rather than wait till later? You commended the widow lady for giving everything she had. How much, Lord, would I have to give to be judged as unresponsible by you? How much do you think you'd have to give for God to say, oh, you're just not acting like a responsible Christian now? How much do you think you'd have to give? Think about it. Number 17. Father, why would I want to hold on to, quote, my wealth? Why would I want to hold on to it? What am I trying to prove? Who am I trying to impress? Is it pride? Is it power? Is it prestige? Is it selfishness? Is it fear? Or is it just that I've been caught up in the culture of the world and I'm just going with the flow? Father, what is it? Why would I want to hold on to stuff? Question number 18. Am I living so I can hear others say, my, what a success he's been? A lot of fellows are. And in the world's mind, they're doing well. But in their own mind, they know they're not. Question number 19. Am I hanging on to excess money as a backup plan in case you fail me? In case you're a liar? In case you're not trustworthy? Is that why I've got to have this big wad? Now, I'm not talking about savings and where if you have a downturn, you can't eat. I'm not talking about that kind of stuff. I'm talking about stuff that we have no use for, that we hang on to. I'm talking about money that we could never spend. I'm talking about stuff that needs to be in the work of God, and we're holding on to it. Why? Well, bad times might come. Look, the same God that took care of us in the good times take care of us in the bad times. We need to understand it. Last question. Last question. Father, 5 minutes after I die, will I wish I had given more while I had the chance? Won't you ask Him? Won't you just ask Him? Now, you know why we have such a problem with those 20 questions? We talked about it this morning. Because we don't understand the truth of life and death. We somehow think we're immortal. We somehow think we're going to live forever. And that we make our own way and we do our own thing, you see. But the fact of death, as I said this morning, is inescapable. 100% of us, pretty good odds, are going to die. And when we do, the only thing we're going to take with us is what we've given away. No more. Death is our greatest enemy, and it is foolish for you and I to live this life without an eternal perspective and without looking at preparing for what lies ahead with a sense of eternity. So I hope that we can do that. I hope that today's just been a day of examination, biblical examination. Examine yourself. Ask God. Let God talk to you. Let God speak to you. And then begin to prepare your hearts for this coming year, if Jesus tarries is coming. What you're giving will be on purpose. And you just, see, you don't become a good steward by accident. You have to work at it. You have to practice it. I watch people play the piano around here. I just can't like them. Yeah. I want to play the piano like that so bad. Somebody said, well, take lessons. Not that bad. Because then you have to practice. And I'm not going to practice. I'd rather play the tambourine. Don't have to practice that. See, I'm not going to practice enough to excel at the piano. But if I'm a Christian, I ought to practice stewardship until I excel at it. As a matter of fact, somewhere this week, we'll talk about where the Bible tells us to do that. We are to excel at it. And it's an amazing thing. So I hope you'll come back. I hope you won't dust it off as another day and another guest preacher and a preacher trying to squeeze more of the dollar out of us. Best I can tell, all this is for your benefit. Amen. Not a money raising meeting. It's a Christian raising meeting. And when we get on the other side, it's not going to be about church. It's going to be about my responsibility to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and what I did according to what He blessed me with and what I did according to the commands of the Word of God. So let's get ready for it this week. Let's prepare for it. And when we prepare for that day, it'll take care of this day. Amen. Bow your head, please. Every head is bowed. Every eye is closed. Examine yourself. Just examine yourself.